Dun, 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 judges. I spoke in Samson not too long ago. I've been really going through Judges. Teaches us a lot about warfare. And I spoke in this lad about 6 years ago at the gospel meeting that we used to have. And I was really going to share a different story. I was looking for Gideon. And as I was looking for the scripture about Gideon, I started reading through this lad's journey again. And then I thought, nah, I really need to speak on this, even though I've shared it 6 years ago. But with a slightly different take on it, because your heart changes in 6 years if it doesn't or something wrong. So it's a strong word, and it's called enough is enough. But if it gives you the courage to share it, is just the words that's already been spoken this morning about fit why we're going to go here. And even before speaking, Elsa, she's good at reading my books, Army of the Dawn, we are a warrior on the front. That's really what I'm speaking about this morning. And enough is enough. And I was listening to Billy's, did an amazing job last week. Billy, listened to it in a car in a way home. And just he came to a point in his life where he said, enough is enough. It's time to deal with the stuff in my life. It's time to get real with Jesus and deal with anything that is holding us back and move on. Have you ever felt in life that you're just overwhelmed to a point or enough is enough? You maybe get a feeling at the pit of your stomach, maybe sometimes in the natural. If you sit in your house, you got kids, grandkids, people coming around your house, and if your house just gets overwhelmingly messy, or does that just happen in the Duthie household? And you got this feeling, haven't you? Enough is enough. I need to just go and tidy, whether I have to come out as large. I just need to go and do it. I need to empty a dishwasher, get other plates, and I just need to do it, and it's not going to do it on its end. Ken Isabel gets like that, we do in washing and ironing. The basket's just waiting for ironing. It's just, she'll get to, is this all right to share? I'll ask for forgiveness, no permission. And she'll just, enough's enough. I just need to go and do it. Is one day like that? There's just some stuff in life you let go for so long, and then you just think, oh, enough is enough. I need to do something about this. We're going to hear this morning for a guy on a journey that God had raised up that one day decided, Ken, something, enough is enough. I need to do something about it. And I believe it's a word for us as a people, but also as a fellowship. Ken, something, enough is enough. It's maybe time to do some warfare and they settle for things that Jesus has paid the price for at Calvary. And they settle for things in our life that really God doesn't want us to carry. In Judges chapter 3, I'll read for verse 12. Excuse me. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. And the Lord gave King Eglon. Eglon means well-rounded, and you'll understand why in a moment. Of Moab, control over Israel because of their evil. So here was a king subjecting the people of God to foreign rule, idol worship. Eglon enlisted the Ammonites and the Amalekites as allies, and then he went out and defeated Israel, taking possession in Jericho, the city of palms. The Israelites lived like us and served Eglon, the Moab, for 18 years. 18 years. That's 18 Christmases, 18 birthdays, 18 years. They'd lived under this guy, Eglon, the Moab, who was an idolater and worshipped foreign gods. And as it did, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord again, if he's done before, he can do again, amen? He again raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Ehud, son of Gera. He was a left-handed man of the tribe of Benjamin. What difference does it make, really, that he's a left-handed man for the tribe of Benjamin? I mean, there's some things in scripture, you think, why is that and there. But the Bible scholars amongst us, the astute ones amongst us, will know that Benjamin means the son of my right hand. See, I've got a left-handed dude in a tribe that's full of right-handers. So he's what you call an oddball. And he might have got ridiculed for this weakness because left-handers, back in the day, although near the day, we champion left-handers in this church. There is nae persecution there. They would have been seen as people of weakness. And they had to use different weapons of warfare for the right-handers, a peculiar people. But true enough, this left-handed dude in a tribe of right-handers, I think he would have lived with the persona that he carried a weakness and was a bit of an oddball. And he may be seeing things from a different perspective than everybody else. Do you consider yourself an oddball? Like, you just didn't see things. Like, you can't just settle for normal. If people see normal Christianity as this. Do you think you want Monday to Saturday, turn up to Kirk on Sunday, ease your conscience and get on with things? But this was a guy that had a call upon his life to be a rescuer, and he must have felt a bit like the Odin Oot, that he was a left-handed guy in a tribe of right-handers. I believe I'm speaking of people that cannot just settle for other people seem to settle for in the Christian life. Come on. The fit you want is Jesus. The fit you want is everything to do with the kingdom and mayor. It's simple religion, but they do it for you. And sometimes that marks you look like an oddball. I'm speaking on the oddballs, and here I'll raise my left hand. I've discovered I have to embrace my individualism within the body of Christ. I quite like the oddballs in Christian circles. We went to refuel. You go to the Christian camps, and they all come out to play. And I said to Isabel, I says, there's a few oddballs in here. But wait for it, I'm going to redeem ourselves in the church. I says, but there are why I go, and so I am pretty much an oddball myself. Because I fit in here. And because you've got prophetic dancing, you've got the flags. We need to get the flags back. If I were going to auction to get fucking Mark flags here, if I was Audrey... Audrey's not here. Let's volunteer Audrey Reynolds to mark flags for us. It's just that spirit that you kind of settle for just for other people settle for. And you have got it within your spirit and your DNA that you want the fullness of Jesus and you might look weird doing it. Again, we need to pray for the kids when they come back because they're changing years in school. Gone a while, it was a real inspiring time. One of the most inspiring speakers was Mark Ritchie, not Davy's loon or Paul's brother, but Stevie Ritchie's loon. He spoke about, something, we need to stand up and step out as Christians, and if you need to take a beating for that, you need to take a beating. And he shared a couple of funny stories. He was absolutely brilliant. But if you stand out because of your Christian faith and you might look a bit odd and you're maybe the only one in your family that keeps believing in Jesus and you're maybe the wife that's carrying the word of the Lord into your family, I want to encourage you with this guy, Ehud, that felt a bit strange, that felt a bit out of place, but he was going to be the catalyst for change. We will never change anything in this community if we just keep on being the same as each other. Do you agree with that? We have got to appreciate for God has called us to be our weaknesses, our strength. But God has gifted us. We might look weird to others. You might see things from a different perspective. But that is a thing that God will use to bring change within families and fellowships and community. This was a guy that would have stood out. He was a left-handed man in the tribe or the son of my right hand. It says the Israelites sent him to deliver their tribute money to King Eglon, of Moab. So Ehud made a double-edged dagger that was about a foot long, and he strapped it to his right thigh, keeping it hidden under his clothing. This is a strange verse from Nagant Eliyahu, the next scene. It's quite descriptive. He brought the tribute money to Eglon, who was very fat. Like, this guy was humongous. So, here's the mess of the situation for Israel. The mess of the situation was this. There was God's people. For 18 years, they lived under this guy, Eglon. And here we have Ehud, was left-handed. And he goes to Eglon, and it says he's a big, humongous guy. And they had to pay them tribute, pay him taxes. I thought, why does it mention his weight and his size? It should be totally irrelevant. Then I got this picture. And so the Holy Spirit was saying that they'd made it really easy for this enemy to rule over them. If you look through Kings, if you look through the battles, the great battles that David and Saul got involved in, it used to be this battle, right? It was like the Israelites against the Philistines. It was David against Goliath. It was warfare. But if ever Israel faced, they would have had to be pretty fit, because they would have had to be trained in battle to beat the Israelites. And Israel was trained in warfare against the enemy as well. They would have had to be quite fit people. But here we are, we have a picture of a king that was humongous, that didn't even have to move, and yet the people of Israel was saying, hey, that's your tribute to you. And I wonder if it's a picture that if we didn't get involved with warfare, it's really easy for the enemy. We mark it easy for the enemy. The enemy is the devil, and he should have fight in his hands with the people of God, right? But if we live in a way, a certain way that doesn't glorify God and we do what we want, the enemy's got an easy job. He can just sit and get fat and eat pot noodles all day. And meanwhile, the people of God, they have got all the resources in the world, all the heavenly resources, but have got time, money, effort, gifting. If we didn't use that wisely, we do this. We take what should be God's, and we put it right in the enemy's hands. Here's my time. Here's my cash. We'll give to everything but missionaries. Everything but the persecuted church. Here's our cash. We'll spend in what we want. The time that we could be getting to prayer and reading the word of God, if we didn't live for Jesus, the enemy could get fat and pot noodles without lifting a finger. And we say, here's my time. Here's my gifting. We should be involved. The enemy should have to get up and fight. But if we are not a careful church and we didn't do the things that needs to be done in the secret place, we didn't give the devil a job to do. And then we've got the brass neck to come and blame him for stuff. Make sure you are involved with warfare before you start blaming the devil. Because you've got to make the devil do stuff. And if the devil and the enemy and the demons just need to sit back while the people of God just come to church on Sunday and then walk away Monday to Saturday, do what they want, he just needs to sit here getting fed. Come on. Somebody's going to have to say enough is enough. We've got the time and the capabilities to do worship, to get involved with Bible study, to help each other. You might have a penny to your name, but we've all got time to invest. Invest it wisely. Or you might find yourself, the enemy's got an easy job, and we just start surrendering. If it could be for God and his glory, we start, and it's interesting, the name here is tribute. Our life is a tribute to Jesus, the one that was nailed to the cross for salvation of our souls. If we start surrendering things or time and effort, we start paying tribute to an enemy that doesn't need to lift a finger. Are you still with me this morning? Strong word, enough is enough. I think we're going to come into a season. I sat at the back of this church when Nebdy was in at the start of the year. And it says, God, give me a word for a new year. I've maybe shared this before. I was wanting miracles. I was wanting signs and wonders. I was wanting revival. Tell you the word I got, battle. And within a few weeks, my granny had passed away. I've been just battle. And I think God is trying to waken up the church. We're in a battle. And we need to get serious that enough is enough and stop surrendering to the enemy so easily. So easily. This was a plight of Israel, but God had raised up a man that wasn't going to think the same as Abdi, that was maybe a bit of an oddball that seen things from a different perspective. So after the mess, we just see a moment. Consider this, that Ehud had done this journey for a while. This wasn't the first time he'd done his journeys for 18 years. It doesn't say they'd done it for 18 years, but for 18 years they was in slavery. But he was ready to do something about it. Are you ready to do something about it? He was ready to do something about it. He'd fashioned his dagger in secret places. He'd paid the tribute. And then he was on his way back. And then it says this, verse 18, after delivering the payment, Ehud started home with those who had helped carry the tribute, so it must have been quite big. But then came the moment. But when Ehud reached the stone idols near Gilgal, he turned back. He came at Eglon and said, I have a secret message for you. I had a moment. And maybe this morning, this is your moment. He paid the tribute, he turned back, and he looked. I think he must have just, he made that journey a lot of times. He maybe went past a few times, still to go the way back, and just singing worship music, but nothing changed. He maybe tried to bury his head in the sand to the problems that his nation faced. Amazing the day how much we are open to if it has gone wrong in the world. Come on. You just click on Facebook, you click the news, and we are instantly inundated with things that are gone wrong in the world, tragedies, wars, horrible stuff going on in the world. We've got an option to bury our head in the sand, and maybe this is what he did, walking past the images, just thought, well, name my battle, it's name my beef, somebody else's problem. I'm just doing my job here. But one day, he was coming back, and he just looked at the idols and thought, I have had enough. Enough is enough. This moment that just sits in the pit of his stomach, he just thought, enough is enough. And people, we need to come to a point as a fellowship, or enough is enough. I drove around in a car the other day, went to an area in the Brock, and I've just started to ask myself these questions. How much people in this street are actually saved? We see lost people all the time, church, come on. And we can bury our head in the sand and we can just switch on and worship music louder and keep driving. Or is there people in here that will say, ah, enough is enough. Enough is enough of people going to lost eternity without people telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. Enough is enough of people going to lost eternity without experiencing the test and the sea that the Lord is good. At least give them the opportunity to test and see that the Lord is good. Enough is enough for people living with anxieties that Jesus Christ has paid for with his blood through the cross of Calvary. And every person that we meet on the street, Jesus loves with an everlasting love and he wants them to be saved. Enough is enough. And as Jesus looked upon humanity in his or lost state, completely hopeless, there came a point that Jesus said, enough is enough. I need to put on flesh and I need to go and save them. Are you grateful that Jesus said enough was enough? Because he could have said, let's just let them go a fairly longer and let them go and burn in hell. But he said, enough is enough. I need to put on flesh. I need to live a pure and spotless life, even though he was in a pursuit of the salvation in our souls. He met the enemy face to face. He did the warfare in the secret place. He was tempted as we was tempted, yet did not sin. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sin because he decided enough was enough. I need to go and save them. I need to go and take them into my family. I need to go and make a way. Father, we live and we in our lives. Maybe the day we need to say, look, enough is enough. Can I go on living like this without the fullness of Jesus? There's habits I need to lay down. There's attitudes I need to walk away from. The prophetic words already went out. You've got to have to choose a way. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And Ken, something, sometimes that walk that he walked, it's a lonely walk. You see the image? He had plenty of people at the point of the image. But the walk that he went back to the enemy, when he decided enough was enough, I would love to tell you that it's always amazing and you'll always have somebody by your side to champion you on. The Church of Jesus Christ is amazing, but we're not there 24/7. Sometimes it's a lonely walk. Even if your husband's a Christian, even if your wife's a Christian, even if all your kids are Christians. Sometimes when you decide enough is enough and start to take authority, that walk for the image to the enemy, sometimes you got to just whack it on your own. But that is the heart of a warrior. That is the heart of a catalyst. That is the heart of somebody that will say, I am not settling for being taunted by the enemy any longer. I am not settling for the enemy to take control of our areas of my life. And he doesn't even have to put up a fight. That walk was a lonely walk. And I'm thinking of kids that's going to want to start academy. They want to start their kids as Christians. And you want to tell them that it's going to be amazing. And but you got to prepare them as well. Because I was through the academy. And I wasn't a Christian through the academy. And I've seen how Christians got treated in the academy. And there were the ones that got, you're a left-handed person, a tribe of right-handers. And you've just got to say to your kids, we are here for you, but we cannot be with 24/7. You might get spat on because you're a Christian, but God is we, and we'll be here for you, pray for you, and we'll get devotional times in the morning and pray for them that persecute you and bless you. Are you with me this morning? Sometimes it's a lonely walk. The walk as a Christian when you decide enough is enough. But he came, and he came with a message. He said, I have a secret message for you. So the king commanded his servant, be quiet. He sent him out of the room. Ehud walked over to Eglon, who was sitting alone in a cool upstairs room. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. As King Eglon rose from his seat, I'll stop there. I have a message from God for you. Are you still with me? You want to get involved with some warfare? Might be a lonely road, but it'll be a worthy road. If you decided enough is enough, are you ready to take Jesus into every area of your life? He says, I'm going back, and I'm going back with a message for God. Hallelujah. I wouldn't encourage us, in fact, didn't I? I would speak against us, actually. But if you was to be in a room with Satan for a moment, who would you say I'm? Like, this was King Eglon that had lorded our Israel, made them slaves. And the enemy had just in free rein to do what he wanted and didn't have to be trained in warfare. If you could hear your moment, who would you say? He says he came back with a message. How would your language be? Would it be full of hope, or it be something like, oh, you're really, really bad, and you're really, really big, and you've ravaged my family, and I give up. take Manau into their dungeon. People, we need to do this warfare stuff with a message of prophetic word for God. A message that will pierce the darkness, that will make the enemy absolutely tremble. Worship's amazing. I love times of worship in the presence, but I can't, that's not everything you do with warfare. You need the word of the Lord. Be good stewards of the word of God. And I'm not saying that you need to go and shout to Satan, but we need to carry a word that's the anointing that breaks the yoke. We need to raise up. If you was to speak to him, what would you say? Might I just encourage you with a few things if you're not sure fit to say? You point to the cross and say, my Jesus conquered you. Through the power of the cross, he made a public spectacle of you, disarming you and your powers. He trampled on the works of the enemy, and it says in the Acts of the apostles bring up and say, Jesus went about destroying the works of the enemy. That's your Jesus. You can say amen if you want. But our Jesus has become so tame and so gentle, and he just wants to court us all the time. He is an absolute warrior. And he will turn the tables in your life if he wants to. If you have made him Lord, you have given him permission that if things are out of line in your life, he will turn the tables as he did with the money changers in the temple. You can point to the cross. You can point to the blood of Jesus. For I believe that the blood of Jesus is still the answer for salvation. That precious, spotless blood of Jesus. You can point to the blood of Jesus and say, my Christ. Blood was shed at Calvary, and his blood is enough for me to be saved and my family. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will be saved. It's not that his blood was just a bit sufficient, all sufficient. The finished work of the cross, that was the place that defeated the enemy. Nay, only that, we can say that our Christ didn't just die for our sin, but he was resurrected in glory. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. He is all supreme, nay, just some supreme. He has all authority, nay, just some authority. He is all knowing, nay, just some knowing. He is altogether wise, altogether faithful, and he is faithful to generation to generation. That is the word of the Lord. That's the message that we come with. We are nay the defeated foe. The church is nay the defeated foe. We are the bride of Christ. It speaks in Ephesians how God, in front of the powers and principalities of darkness, endues and empowers the church with wisdom. They shall be the head and not the tell. What would you say if you met the enemy? But let me warn you as well, when he came in with a message for God, this humongous guy stood up, probably for the first time in a while. The warning is this: if you want to do warfare, and if you want to decide enough is enough, you will soon find the enemy suddenly gets up and stops being so lazy. And so I would love to just send you just new at this point, before I go to that point, and say, go and do it. But I do need to warn you that as soon as you get serious and as soon as you start, right, I'm going to get enough is enough, then at the same time, our hell sort of gets, I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm just, if it doesn't happen, yourself a pat on the back and say, I'm an oddball, God's protecting me. But this message will come into effect if you're inspired here to say enough is enough as soon as you leave here. And be careful as you pursue enough is enough and want to see the enemy defeated and God prosper in your life and your family and your community. It's like when Jesus turned up. And I was a guy with legions of demons, and as soon as he rocked up, our hell was let loose. He started shrieking and gone mental. Because with the presence of God comes for warfare, the enemy uprises as well. Because they start getting up for a battle. So my advice, be careful for you do the day. Be very, very careful. Do not go for this place looking for arguments with people. They're not your enemy. The spirit is your enemy. The worst thing you can do is leave this place and say, I'm going to sort the world out. Because then you will find an uprising of the enemy and you'll get caught up in arguments that you didn't even want to get caught up in, and God isn't what to get caught up in. Choose your battles carefully. And some of you maybe just need to do what they used to do in school. That's not smoking, by the way. Just didn't say nothing. And you might have to be on the edge of your seat dying to say something. If you go here going gung-ho and your loved ones, telling them to sort stuff out, I can almost guarantee it will not end well. Because you have made a commitment here that enough is enough. And God, and the enemy will use situations, and it's usually through people. You'll start moving and you'll start getting up. Be very careful for you do the day. Be very careful. This is a precious day. We've had an amazing time of worship, but just guard your heart. Don't let any bitterness. If you need to forgive people, let it go, and let it go gently. Be careful for your deed. When the sun goes down at night, it says that the deeds of darkness are done in darkness. If you kind of trust yourself on the internet browser, close it, put away. Be careful for your deed of day. If you kind of have social wine and you need to tan 3 bottles, don't go and pass the off license in your YM. Don't open that ball. Because if you do, you might ruin the enemies out to get you. Be careful. And before you go to bed at night, you set your alarm that you will get up early. And you will pray and seek the Lord's face before Abdel's gets up. Be careful. Be careful. This is for experience of fun. That's almost every time I preach across the power of the blood, you just go into total warfare. And if you didn't guard your heart, things get completely out of control. Is it okay to say this stuff? I'm not saying this stuff to judge people. I'm saying this because we love you so much. We didn't want you to get bound in things you shouldn't get bound with. If you must open your mouth, open up. Just in it. Paul spoke about crucifying the flesh. So that's going to hurt you. So maybe the people that you're against, bless them instead. It's funny the things God tells you to do, isn't it? And this might hurt you. But Paul says this, that I will crucify my flesh. He's saying it kills me sometimes to live for God, but I have to beat my body into submission. So it's a slave to righteousness, so I do for the Father does, and they're a slave to sin. Be careful for you do the day. Enough is enough. I'll read on and then I'll close. So you've got to get to the good news. As King Eglon rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand. He was a left-handed guy. This was his weakness. God's power is perfected in fit and weakness. Pulled out the dagger strapped to his right thigh, plunged into the king's belly. The dagger went in so deep, handle disappeared beneath the king's fat. So Ehud did not pull out the dagger and the king's bowels emptied. Gruesome, really graphic for the Bible, says. Then Ehud closed and locked the doors of the room and escaped. Listen to this. Verse 26. While the servants were waiting, Ehud escaped, passing the stone idols on his way to Syria. He arrived in the hill country of Ephraim. Ehud sounded a call to arms. Gonna ask a worship band to come up. Then he led a band of Israelites down from the hills. Follow me, he said, for the Lord has given you victory over Moab, your enemy. So they followed him, and the Israelites took control of the shallow crossing. The Israelites took control of the shallow crossings. This is what happens when even one person says enough is enough. I'm going to do warfare. I'm going to do it right. I'll choose the rod, and I'll choose it wisely. It happened in Billy's life. He had to decide enough is enough. And this one guy, fighting on the enemy, and seeing God victorious over the enemy, then led a whole people of Israel. It says that Israel now took control. Are you looking forward to a day that the kingdom of God would take control in this community? Come on. There's got to be at least a few people that will say enough is enough. Enough is enough. People die too young, getting involved with the wrong stuff. I was going to say, look, enough is enough. We've just had enough. And if that disappointment fuels you to go into the secret place, to switch off Netflix, but doing Facebook for a moment, and just do the warfare stuff and proclaim the word of God. If you've got a family, you're head of your household, you get your devotional out. You start praying for your kids. You start praying for your family, even though you're the only voice there. You set your alarm. You do the stuff that needs to be done. I think we're going to commit a season as a church of being warriors. And some people are really going to catch this. Some people are going to go for it. And it might be a lonely walk for some of us. And it will cost us some time. Sarah, what at the park? Sarah's in charge of the prayer and prophetic. I've got a commission out. I've got to start having prayer meetings at uncool times. We could keep it 7 and 8, and that will continue, I guess. But fires up for the half-night prayer meetings. Like it stops at 1, 2 in the morning, stuff like that. We can't do this. Because people are, it's awful late. God, I can't if I can go. If some folk hate reasonable reasons like kids and stuff, they'll leave your kids in the house in your rent to come to a prayer meeting. But some folk that kind of survive. The day after, it's got to be so late. I think I'll have to give up on life if you keep up till 1 to pray. But we have no problem if it's a box set. We're like, I need to watch another episode. It's 3 in the morning. Come on. I need to see how this ends. This is a cliffhanger. I kind of nag on my bed without seeing. That's real life. But we've got to start doing prayer meetings when it's uncool to pray. As Jesus says, could you not even to disciples just 1 hour? I asked you just to pray for what? Couldn't even give me 1 hour. And people, the dream for this fellowship is always revival. It's always to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's always to see God invade the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. But that is just a dream if we didn't do warfare. If the enemy is allowed to rule our lives in the Dion thing, when they got to get revival, when they got to see the territory, when they got to see Israel take charge, when they got to see the Lord of hosts invade in places that we didn't think he could, this will be birthed through a people that will say, enough is enough. I'm sick of it. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want his kingdom to come. We need to fast and pray. We need to be good stewards of the word of God. We need to watch what we watch on TV. We need to walk away things that's destroying us. And if we didn't have the enemy, doesn't even have to fight for our community. If that's got to be the people that at least we're going to mark and fight. And if he's got to take our community, he's going to have to be trained in warfare. Listen, Satan's been around for thousands of years. He cares how to fight. But God will raise up a people, an army of the living God. Can these dry bones live again? You got to hear the rattling. You got to answer the call and say, enough is enough. While I've got breath in my lungs, God, use me. While I've got time to spare, God, I am yours. Let's stand on our feet. If you want to respond, just you come to the front. You just want to say, there's nothing special about the front. There's nothing, oh, you're special because you're at the front. It's just letting your legs move to the call that's in your spirit. And sometimes that is a defining moment, or if you can go at the front at church and say enough is enough, When you leave here, you've got a fair chance that you will follow through and fit the Spirit is doing in your life. But I'm feeling within myself that us as a fellowship, we've got to come into being. David said, God has trained my hand for warfare. Has somebody seen the war rooms here? Put up your hand if you've seen the war room. Brilliant movie. I was looking for the clip, but it's copyrighted, so they didn't let me show it. That time, the lady just said, her husband was out of control. Kids were out of control. She was at the point of breaking, but there was a point in the movie she just said, enough is enough. And she cried out to God. She got a prayer room in her house. It's just an inspiring story of a woman that would say enough was enough. I could point to different people in here. I ken your stories. There's been different times in your life. You just enough is enough, and you've got right with Jesus. Just a moment. I'm just going to declare a few things. I want us just to sing an anthem or praise, an anthem or worship. If you want to respond, then you come to the front. We're going to get a deep prayer ministry. Scotland were well known for being warriors. Let it not be known of the church that the Scottish church slept while the enemy gained ground without lifting a finger. In Jesus, we simply ask that the Lion of the tribe of Judah would roar the heavenly places, that you would raise up a generation, that you are not bothered who all people are, for the youngest to the all, but you're looking for people that will answer the call, that enough is enough. And you go, I speak out of the congregation and say, enough is enough. That people would go a lost eternity without hope, enough is enough. That God, we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's not our plan B or plan C. We need you, Jesus, to move in power. And God, would you raise up a generation that for this point has says enough is enough, and they would go for this place and be diligent, and they would choose the right road. Listen, the narrow road is still the narrow road. Just because Abdi's Dean, it doesn't mark it right. And the wide road, it says, leads to death and destruction. Just because Abdi's Dean, it doesn't mark it right. And God will raise up a generation that will walk the narrow road, and it's a lonely road. It's a road of discipline. It's a road of ridicule, of persecution. It's a road of blessing. It's a road that God will walk every step of the way. We, but is there anybody in here that is willing to say enough is enough? If that is the road I need to tack to see my family saved, that is the road I need to tack. If that is the road I need to tack to see my community delivered from darkness into His wonderful light, that is the road I am taking. If that is a road, that means that I have to lay down a few things. I need to switch off some things and chuck out a few things. That is a road I am taking, because enough is enough. Jesus, we worship you in this place. We say before the powers and principalities that enough is enough. And indeed we say, Jesus, is only you is enough for me. Only you, Jesus, is enough for me. Only you satisfy. God, I pray for an expression of faith through the power of the Holy Spirit within your people that will rise up with a voice to say, enough is enough. We want the kingdom of God and nothing less. We want our neighbors to be saved. We want new songs to be burst in this place. We want to lay hands on the sick that they may recover. Enough is enough that people die too young when you could save them and heal them. Jesus.
Your love has brought us out of the darkness and into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts to a God. To a God we lift up one voice, to a God we lift up one song, to a God we lift up one voice.